I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, my raspy voice is kind of back.
I told you to be careful with your voice.
You did. I didn't listen to you. But this time I wasn't screaming and yelling at the patriarchy or anything like that. This time I was having a great time at Burning Man.
Yeah.
And it's dusty. We had like at least 2 to 3 good whiteouts. And
you rolled in late, not because she intended to. She tried to leave yesterday, which is, we're recording this on a Tuesday. She tried to leave on Monday.
But the line was crazy. Anyone who's ever been to Burning Man, maybe you've never experienced how getting in and out can be quite hellish. But although you can make it really fun. So this line was about 8 hours of fun. And that wasn't even the dusty part, but we made a lot of friends in line getting out. Getting in was easy, but yeah, full on like white out dust storms, putting on masks and goggles and walking around and doing weird performances with my partner. One day we dressed as 90-year-olds who had been together for 70 years named Merle, I still don't know his name, and Ethel. We had 7 kids, all made on tequila, and then they had 7 kids made on tequila, and we were lost at Burning Man. We needed help, but the help was just usually people giving
us
cocktails.
It's a performance artist thing, if anyone's confused out there, like, what the fuck is she talking about? She just came off of Burning Man, she's decompressing, and it's all just acting and fun.
Oh yeah, the thing about it is this radical self-expression, right, without like, you know, offending people and being like a racist asshole.
Which is perfect for this episode, because this episode is with two people that have an incredible, I mean, their platform on multiple levels, not only Royal Fetish Films, but what both of them are doing as individuals for this industry, not only are the industry of pleasure, however, the industry for sex workers, for cam performers,
sex toys
is awesome. Yeah. So it was a great kind of segue to enter this way.
The sex question, I think, also kind of leads into it as well, maybe a smidge. Yeah. So anyways, that's why I'm a little scratchy and I wish April was there with me, but maybe she'll come with me next year.
I had a wedding.
You're coming with me next year.
I didn't get married. I went to a wedding.
April, you got married?
I didn't get married.
You bitch. I thought I'd be your best woman. Yeah. Your best human.
My best human.
Would I be your human of honor?
You'd be second after legend.
Fuck. No, legend's the ring bearer.
He would be terrible.
You would lose that shit.
Unless it was attached to a ball. I actually haven't run the sex question.
So, okay, yes. This episode's going to be awesome with Jet Setting Jasmine and King Noir. They have their own podcast. April will tell you more in the bio. Wonderful people. We also have YouTube videos now, as you've heard. So there's a video of them on YouTube.
See, Amy's sweaty, rolling in after Burning Man.
Maybe you were both fucking sweaty, but I rolled in literally like getting
abnormally hot. Right? It's so hot in Santa Cruz where we live.
80 degrees is really hot for us.
And our studio has zero ventilation because if we leave the doors open, then the sound
is different.
Next
door.
Right. Arr, arr, arr. So we have to keep everything closed. So it was very hot.
It's open right now, so I don't know how this sounds.
It'll be okay. There were workers in the house in the front, so like making banging noise earlier, so now it's okay.
Not sex banging.
Not sex banging.
No.
Jackhammering.
Yeah.
Jackhammering.
Which is what this sex question is about. Jackhammering.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Did you not know that?
No.
Oh my, this is awesome. Okay, perfect. See, here we go. So, sex question from an anonymous human, who I'm assuming is a Volvo owner. The guy I'm casually seeing is all about jackrabbit sex or jackhammering me. While I find bursts of this enjoyable, after a while it's too much. He is very well endowed, which is awesome, but he also prefers a lot of entry from behind, which can feel too intense at times. I have told him that I need more warm-up and a variety for my arousal, And while he listens, he ends up sliding back into jackhammering every time. How can I better vocalize to him that I'm not enjoying the jackhammering? I don't want to make him self-conscious, but this is making me think we're just not sexually compatible. Please help. So this is casual sex we're talking about here. So this isn't like you're in love with the person. So it doesn't sound like you've fallen super hard, but you're interested in them. You're having a good, there's some portions, aspects, moments that feel really good. You vocalize in some way, which we don't know how you vocalize it, but that you need more foreplay, warm up, and variety for your arousal, and that yet they still are like, flip over and let me jackhammer you from behind. So why I think this is great for a sex question to utilize for this episode is because Jet Setting Jasmine and King Noir are very much about reframing and changing what we've been taught for on how to have sex, especially what bodies should do, what bodies should look, especially like racialized bodies, all these things, which is not exactly part of this question, but this question is about typical traditional sex that you see in porn. Mainstream porn is jackhammering. And what I loved Jet Setting Jasmine and King Noir said about the porn that they create is they show you the before and after, the conversations that happen before the porn scene and the after scene, like, and that might include the prep, whereas most porn just shows you, well, they don't even show you the lube that was added, the warm-up that probably
the
happened.
The plug that was in place if you are deep anal. Having yeah. anal play.
No, they shove it right in. It just seems to go right in magically without any yeah. lube. And so just towards saying this to your partner that is jackhammering you, I would say, you know, they're, I don't want to use a victim, but a human that has been taught, unfortunately, likely by porn on how to have sex.
Do we know if this is a vulva owner? Is it,
or
is it another?
I'm pretty sure it's a vulva owner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if this is a
penis
owner, I'm
90% sure. I'm 90% sure we're talking vulva owner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Regardless, with
a jackhammering an ass is, oh my God, that's even more gnarly.
Completely. Like, yeah. And this whole conversation though really needs to be. It needs to be with the person that's doing the jackhammering, because the person that's on the receiving end, it's hard to communicate with someone if this is how, if he's feeling this is how he constantly gets off and he wants to enter from behind and it's too much. I think that they're going to have to figure out a way to communicate that if the vulva owner is not communicating.
So the vulva owner has already said something about it.
While he listens, he ends up sliding back.
But he just goes back to the ye old jackhammer. Like, and especially, so like here, so doggy style. I love that term. I don't, but it just makes me laugh.
From behind.
So in that position, to me, that's like, or like when we just did this episode that came out this week with Alicia and Erwan about penetration, like there's a time and a place for fuck being really hard. There's a time and a place for a deep penetration position that is doggy style. Like, especially if you're dealing with a cock or a dildo going into a vulva or vagina, you know, that's like,
especially if your cervix is dropping.
Yeah. And
that can hurt.
But part of arousal is the vaginal canal widens and lengthens and makes more room. The cervix goes up, and so you need a lot of arousal before you can actually have this kind of movement, generally speaking, unless someone's, you know, into the pain part of it. So you said you asked for more foreplay. My question is, you've said I'd like more warm up and foreplay. How much have you really emphasized this deeply? Like, not just like, hey, I'd like more foreplay, but like, hey, I have something really important to talk to you about.
It's almost like they need more foreplay, not want it. They need it.
It's a demand.
Yes.
It's basically
not
like
a request. It's like a requirement.
Yeah. Like, I will tell you when I'm ready for you to fuck the shit out of me, also known as jackhammering me. But until then, do not, because I know my body and I'll let you know. Like, I mean, that's how it is for me. When I know my body lets me know I want to be fucked really hard right now. But if someone fucks me really hard when my body's not there, it hurts.
It also can be a huge turn on if there's a ton of foreplay and the blood flow is so engorged on both ends, where you are so turned on and the jackhammer is really turned on. And you, I'm not saying you have to orgasm, but where all the sensation when there is jackhammering or the quickness or pounding feels really good.
But you have to be ready.
You have to be ready.
So we're talking about
foreplay should be almost 80% a lot of times.
Oh
of
my
things.
God. Yeah. It's so like we should spend. So, and then also talking about the receiving orifice. So the vulvas in general take 4 times as long to get approximately blood flow and arousal than a penis. So if we're talking about, you know, penis and vagina sex, just because the cock is ready to go does not mean the pussy's ready to go. If we were talking anal, that's a whole different story. Sometimes there's another anal pun.
That stuff.
Sometimes it takes a half an hour for the ass to relax and open up. But I think that this is specifically geared towards jackhammering in a doggy style position with a pussy and a cock and moving too quickly without a lot of warm up. And so my advice would be like not only advocate for this as being important, but also a necessity. Like, and also like, I will tell you when. You don't just get to do this because I need to know when my body's ready, and then I'll tell you when, and then we can go and do the thing, because then it can actually be really fun.
I would also suggest, because the person asking the question said, how can I better vocalize to him that I'm not enjoying jackhammering? I don't want to make him self-conscious. One thing, like Amy said, you have to advocate for yourself. You want to have, I mean, your agency, like your sexual agency. You can also introduce sex toys, because sometimes adding a little bit of external vibration can help warm you up faster than having, because sometimes people in situations when there's different bodies, they're turned on and they want to go straight to the penetration or the thing that they think is going to take them on the ride of the end result, when it is about the journey.
Yeah.
They asked a very important question that I think we should address. Is it like, are they sexually compatible? And so if
you
this
might
is something
be.
That keeps coming, they might not be and they might be.
Yeah, there's a possibility that you're not. But
is this dude going to listen?
It also, yeah. I mean, so if they're listening, but and you really advocate for it and they still do the thing, maybe not sexually compatible. Maybe this person needs a lot more sex education. You don't have to fucking waste your time with that. Also, you don't want to make him self-conscious.
That's
by voicing your truth.
No.
Like, and that's, I'm assuming this is a vulva owning person who is female identified. And I feel like so many vulva owners and female identified folks are taking on this whole thing of like, I don't want, and penis owners. Like, let's all just stop taking on making
let's
someone self-conscious.
Advocate for ourselves.
I don't want to ruin your day by speaking my truth, that this hurts.
You can't make someone self-conscious. They'll be self-conscious
that's
on
theirs.
With their own feelings.
Yeah.
You can address this in a way that's diplomatic.
And loving.
And loving, exactly. Exactly. So you're not like, you're doing this to me.
You're doing it wrong.
I fucking hate you when you jackhammer me. You can say, hey, I love making love or fucking whatever words you want to use, or making sexy time. Yeah. And the jackhammering is a lot for me sometimes. Can we do more warm up and foreplay so I get ready for the jackhammering? Can we?
I'm going to reframe it. I'm going to reframe it and give it a can we. I'm going to go, I need.
Well,
I need
this. Person
this.
Does need.
Yeah,
yes.
I need this, and I need you to wait for me to tell you when I'm ready for that.
If you don't do it, I'm gonna fucking jackhammer
you. Or if you're going
to
start to do it, ask me first, because I know my body, and my body needs this time for it. And just I'll end on this. What you said about sex toys, I love what you said about that, and I also don't want them to be a band-aid. Like, let me get myself off so my man can jackhammer me, and. They do. Like sometimes sometimes when my partner's coming over and I know we only have 10 minutes to have sex, I will have my like 3 orgasms with my good old Air Pulse Technology vibrator by Liberator or Womanizer, and having, wait, did I say that right?
Not Liberator.
Sorry, wrong company.
Satisfier.
Womanizer. We got all these errors. Satisfier or Womanizer. And then I've already had these orgasms, so turned on. My partner gets there, and I'm like, I need you to fuck me now. But I'm saying that. I'm deciding that. And so there's a power behind that. And I just want to say, if anyone wants to try any of these sex toys, go to purepleasureshop.com, use coupon code shamelesssex, you get 15% off. Go look up, what was it again? Not Liberator. We love Liberator.
Satisfier or Womanizer products. They both make the Air Pulse. I like vibration more than Air Pulse.
I mean, Liberator's awesome too.
And also, this is the thing. This is where and this is the last piece. But this is where the compatibility kind of comes in. So if that's something that is, it's not being met, if your partner's not meeting you and honoring your requests or your actual needs, then that is something to take a look at. And then that's when you can reframe either because it says casually seeing this person. So if you're not tied up in it and they're not cooperating with your needs and desires, there may be a time where you need to move on or move in a different direction.
Choose you.
Or, make him work for it, fuck.
Yeah, work harder.
Work.
And not just him, just everyone. Everyone, work harder. Work
Are you ready
harder.
For a bio chip?
Yeah, give me that bio business.
Jet Setting Jasmine is a licensed clinical psychotherapist and an international sex educator. King Noir is an accomplished writer, artist, MC, global activist, and adult performer. Together, the dynamic duo work as master fetish trainers and co-owners of the multi-award-winning Royal Fetish Films, offering everything from ethical sex toys to kink safety and education with an emphasis on the decolonization of sex and porn for people of color. You can find them featured in Huffington Post, Rolling Stone, Vice, Playboy, Forbes, Cosmopolitan, BBC, Psychology Today, and online at royalfetishxxx.com and jetsettingjasmine.com. Hello, everyone. It is interview time. And yes, this is April starting the interview. Actually, I think maybe for the first or maybe second time of the 5.5 years we've been doing this podcast, Amy will be joining us. She's popping in, driving frantically back from Burning Man. And I'm sure she'll be sweaty and full of playa dust, but that'll be great energy for this episode because we're very excited. This was a delayed episode because we've tried to connect with these two brilliant minded humans a couple of times before, and we kept getting things like random things in the way that, you know, now it's meant to be. Now we finally get to drop in. We have Jet Setting Jasmine and King Noir here, and they are really master fetish trainers. They have the ability to talk a lot about fetishes. And also, when we talked about kind of what this episode would be about, there was a really cool thing that King had mentioned that I think we'll drop into more when the episode gets going, but I'm really excited for you to share that with our audience. So without further ado, Jasmine and King, will you please, as we typically do on Shameless Sex, will you tell everyone about how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality?
Happy to. Thanks for having us. So it's been a long walk. But how I have arrived at where we are today is really combining so much of my personal experience, lived experience in exploring my own sex and sexuality, as well as my learned experience as a professional licensed clinical therapist. And so combining the desire to get more into sex work and to use sex work as a space to be able to try so many awesome, cool things in terms of kinks and fetishes and sex in a safe container. And then also applying the things that I was studying and also applying to my career in human behavior has led to where I am now, which is providing education and training to folks, whether it's couples, groups, up and coming sex therapists, medical professionals, other content creators, the general public on how to have healthy relationships with intimacy and sex. It has led to my practice with working with sex workers and folks that have all types of makes and models of relationship styles in a therapeutic setting. It's led to having a sex positive family that we get to love on and watch them explore this world shamelessly around sex, but also that we get to share with the world and normalize what it is to have a sex positive family, how to be sex workers in this very, very stigmatized industry and still have an incredibly beautiful and thriving, successful family, if I may say so myself. So it really has been a combination, as well as loving this human next to me and being able to explore our relationship in so many awesome, unique ways and to explore sex with this beautiful human next to me. And that has really informed all of my work as a master fetish trainer.
Yeah. Ooh, yes, that's a good intro.
Story. Yeah.
It's been a walk.
I feel like if you start your book from one space mm-hmm. and my book from the other space, then we just culminate somewhere. And my story pretty much started, I got started in sex work from when I was legally able to do so at 18. And I've probably held every imaginable sex work job from driver to performer to fetish trainer to, you know, holding the camera, performing in front of the camera, all of that. But then also for my entire life, from the family that I was raised in, I was just raised to be involved in my community and raised to be involved in things within the world to try and make the world a better place and leave it better for my children. And then I arrived in it and all of that good stuff. So that, I'm also a hip hop musician and an artist. So just mixing my music and being able to tour the world off of music and then bringing that experience into sexuality and, you know, all of those things together has led to the place that I'm in now, where I feel like I am able to unapologetically be myself across the board. Sexuality is a part of that, and be able to share it with the world because I am a full-fledged exhibitionist.
I love a good exhibitionist.
Amy has arrived, everyone.
I'm here.
Look at that. Look at that clean intro entry. We did it.
I just walked in literally like a minute ago and like drenched.
You actually smell pretty good.
I did shower after Burning Man. Good. I just got back from Burning Man, but I did actually take a shower last night.
I already told everyone. I was like, okay, Amy's going to pop in here.
Yeah, definitely. I am like covered in plaid.
You did miss King's photo, though, that was up before they were on video because it was really nice.
So oh, damn it.
You can see it after. Okay,
Okay, well, censored version. Well, and for those watching on YouTube, they can see it on YouTube. Maybe it's somebody on the recording. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Or they'll just follow you online. So, okay, there's so much that we would like to ask you and talk to you about, but let's talk about fetish. First, what is a fetish? And what does it mean to be a master fetish trainer? That sounds so interesting to me. What does this kind of work entail?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, a fetish is anything that turns you on that is not directly related to procreation. We all have fetishes. We all engage in our fetishes, even when we don't know what the terminology is for it or the dictionary definition, right? So being a master fetish trainer means that we help people find, discover, experience, and live their fetishes in safe and orgasmic ways.
Mm, I love that. I love that definition of fetish, of it being, it's very broad. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people with identify fetishes just like something that's alternative and weird or different. And yours is just, it sounds like it has a more broad and open acceptance of the diversity of sexuality.
For sure. I think a lot of times people make the mistake when they think of like alternative to what? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you're doing doggy style and not missionary, does that somehow classify you outside of a certain box? And really, when it comes to sexuality, there are no boxes for it. You know, we're all different, and we all arrive at our fetishes in different ways. Like you and I might have the same fetish for exhibitionism, but we might have it from, okay, I know I like to be seen any and everywhere. You might be like, well, I only like to be seen on my podcast. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everybody might have these similar fetishes, but there are so many different ways to experience them.
I have a question also related to fetishes then, because I've often thought of it as like a spectrum. Here, you can hear my playa voice there. April, I did lose my voice a little bit. She's like, you better come back with a voice. a spectrum where, because there are some folks who have a fetish, is my understanding, correct me, because you'll know more about this than I will, but some folks who their fetish is what they need to feel aroused, whereas some folks, I think, say that feel they have a fetish, but they don't have to have it to be aroused. They can be aroused in other ways too. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I am along the same thought. You know, I think when people have those very particular ways of how they describe their fetish, that's perfectly fine for them. For some folks, they have multiple fetishes or layered fetishes, right? And so even the folks who's like, if I just like to have missionary sex and that's the way that I have my orgasm, then that might be my fetish, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people are saying, well, no, like it has to be, you know, like it has to be this alternative thing, this different type of kink to make it a fetish. And we like to really, as you say, open up that umbrella, normalize how sort of popular your fetish may be, such as missionary perhaps only, right? Or how particular or unique that it may be to, you know, you have to have something layered perhaps. So I also like to even move people to a certain degree away from the word fetish and just sort of talk about kink, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what's your kink? So it doesn't matter if you have an orgasm to it or not, if you, you know, are reach a particular climax or not. It's just an activity that you enjoy doing that may be somewhat against your own grain.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. When I think about fetishes or fetishizing something, which we talked about, like people with freckles or remember, or unicorns or whatever people are fetishizing, I always kind of interlay those things with kink, and it's like almost an umbrella situation. And I don't know, are those two things related? Because in my Midwestern conservative brain, which I haven't lived there in forever, I'm like, oh, I'm not kinky, but I really like this. Is that my fetish? Are those two things, are they like cousins? Are they step children? Are they what are they related? Or could you kind of talk about that, right?
Is kink fetish's uncle?
Yeah, they are related. So the way that that I like to look at that approach is, so kink is an even larger umbrella, and under those kinks are lots of different fetishes, right? You know, that might be a way of sort of visualizing it. But the other thing is that kink is so subjective. So in the Midwest, in this particular town where you were raised, maybe there are things.
Don't say we like cows, okay? It was not. No, I'm just kidding.
But since you brought it, no.
She has a cheese fetish.
Yeah, cheese. I'm going to cheese.
Okay, we'll go with cheese.
That yes, because bestiality is not a fetish.
No. It has to be consensual, everyone.
Exactly. So, you know, it may be really, really acceptable to have like sex and involve food, specifically fondue, because there's just an abundance of cheese there, right? And so that may not be even kinky for you. But where we live here in Florida, like perhaps that is like, oh my gosh, that's so weird. That's so different. That is, how do people even get off to that?
I feel like there are a lot of retirees having fondue sex parties though.
We just haven't reached that age where we've gotten invited to them yet.
To the retiree swinger kinky fondue
fun.
Sex party.
I want to eat fondue off your body.
I want to do that. I want to out of your belly button. April's gonna clean it first. Right now. She's like, don't do that off your face. She's just,
but
not
even
into that either.
About you coming in from Burning Man, right, and thinking like you've been defiled by, you know, like this space and all these people and sweaty and haven't, you know, well, you did say you showered and you ruined my whole defilement fantasy, but whatever. You know, that could really be a thing. But for all the folks that are at Burning Man, it's just like, yeah, we were just all here, and
yeah. Well, right. Burning, like, one of beautiful, yeah. And I know this podcast isn't about Burning Man, but one of the things I love about it is in the everyday world, we can't walk around naked because it's not consensual, right? Like if I walk down the street, it's not consensual because they're not saying they necessarily want to see my bits. At Burning Man though, that's like off the table. People are just walking around naked all over the place. And that's not all that Burning Man is. There's plenty of people that are clothed, but a lot of people get to this free space because it's radical self-expression. And it's an interesting thing because I was thinking about that with consent and maybe naked isn't their fetish. You know, some people just identify as nudists and that's just like a lifestyle for them. It might not be, you know, a fetish for them, but people get to walk around, you know, with their junk hanging out and they're not in a place where people like, put that away, inappropriate. Now, if they were just masturbating out on the playa, that could be a thing. Although
that's what I was going to ask though.
I did see some people fucking on the playa though. I definitely did. And it was not in the orgy
because
dome.
I've lived in countries where I was followed by men like two different times in Italy and in Spain, not saying that this happens, but I was followed by someone that dropped their drawers and started masturbating. And I was like, I was 19. I was like, dude, nah, that's not cool. If someone did to me at Burning Man, I'd be fucking pissed. Yeah. Be like, bro, I don't care if that's your fetish. I'm not consenting.
So
Once consent is out of it, it's not a mutual thing. Like you can have a masturbation fetish when you're alone in your own space, but once you start including other people, then that's borderline or actually is like sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Once consent is taken out of it, it's like the same kind of thing. Like it might be your fetish to put someone on a leash and walk them around perfectly fine within your own space or in a dungeon where people are consensual to that type of behavior. But if you just walk somebody down the street like that, then you're no longer in a space where people are consenting to. Mm-hmm.
And I think something really is important, and this is huge about the work that we do, is that people do have unhealthy fetishes, right? Mm-hmm. People do have unhealthy sexual behaviors. And one of the things that we do is help people, as King said, live their fantasies and fetishes out in a safe and healthy way. Mm-hmm. So sometimes our work may intersect and we have to go, oh, you know, that actually, while that may be something that brings you excitement and that brings you sexual pleasure, that's not consensual. That is not, it's not healthy. It is illegal. And we need to refer you or, you know, pause, and we need to consider addressing this in a totally different way. Yeah. So that I think is important. And also for us that we are a part of the kink lifestyle, the BDSM lifestyle, the all the lifestyles and
all the styles.
Yeah, all the styles. It's really
except important. For the retiree party.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. All right.
We're working.
That is a goal. Yeah. But of all of these lifestyles, it is really important for us to show that there is a difference between how we respect each other in that lifestyle. So as you're saying, this large, very free environment, you can still be violated in that environment because now we're crossing what works for one person in that space versus the other. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in our places and spaces that we bring people, retreats that we have, workshops that we host, we really talk about how important it is to respect the lifestyle, the people that are in the lifestyle, and how to guide and usher folks that really want to be free in those spaces, but have to learn what boundaries are around fetishes and kinks.
Which you have, so Royal Fetish Films is a multi-award winning, three-time award winning plus. So you have to tell us more about this. And King has the shirt on, which is a really dope. It's the crest. It's the crest that's really good. It's like two crowns,
if you want to send us some of those shirts,
Shirts are badass. So please tell us all more about Royal Fetish Films and what that kind of entails, and all the things that kind of circumvent this. Beautiful mission.
So the
we started.
Before we start, we have to correct her bio. She said three-time award.
Oh shit!
That's what I said. Multi.
I wrote it. I was wrong. Lo siento.
No, we just won two more at FetCon. What was that, like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, right after we spoke with before we were supposed to speak with you.
I'm a humble flex real quick. I won best male cam fetish performer and best male fetish performer for the year.
I can see why. Awesome. P.S. Because I mean, I wouldn't mind watching you do some things on film. Okay, I'm not gonna lie.
I want to watch both of
okay,
you.
Okay, both of you, Justin. Yes, I just have to say it. So I hope that's consensual. I'm just saying.
It is. I'm an exhibitionist. I told y'all. So come on my next OnlyFans Live or something. Come have some fun.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
But so we started Royal Fetish Films. Was it like 10 years ago now? Because we did not see ourselves reflected in the adult entertainment industry. I had already been in some shoots and some scenes and done like live shows and all kinds of stuff. And I had stepped away from the industry for a little bit. And Jasmine was a consumer at the time. And we started working together and doing parties, bachelorette parties and birthdays, divorce parties, run down the list. And people at our show, at our parties, would also say, I do not see myself reflected, you know. And this goes to what we were talking about earlier. A lot of films and the porn industry in general fetishized Black people as a fetish, not as human beings engaging in a fetish. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make and create films that reflected the full gamut of Black sexuality and passion and kink and fetishes and all of these things, and to show that it could be done in a beautiful way and that we can engage and enjoy and partake in fetishes. Because a lot of times people would get into this like, oh, that's some white people shit. Or if we were trying to go to certain clubs or be in certain places, white people would not want to have us involved or allowed into those types of spaces, not really thinking that people have probably been liking to get their ass spanked for thousands and thousands and thousands of years all across the entire planet.
It's not brand new. Yeah,
exactly. And it's also not racially specific, right? Mm-hmm. But if you watched porn in America, you would think that Asian people only worked as masseuses, Spanish people only as maids, and Black folk, men specifically, only were allowed to fuck people in prison. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and Black women are hardly ever shown in any films back in the day. So it's like, we wanted to change that. And that's how we got started.
Yeah. So I'm going to lean on you for this a little bit. When I like to think, I know that Royal Fetish Films has changed the culture of the adult industry. Facts. With respect to how we have placed our culture in the film industry. And now this is the part where I need your help. In order for something to have culture, it has to be represented in what ways?
Yeah. So music.
So the music in our films, check it out. Mm-hmm. What else? The clothing.
Language, clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A written form as well.
So.
And the Navy.
And the Navy. We're working on that.
Yeah, and Navy.
Wait, gotta go.
They got the Navy. No.
And the Navy.
Yeah. So when you think about, when you actually experience our films, what you're going to see from the changing of the culture is the conversations that we have are not scripted to the typical porn scripts. That was something that I was having a really hard time as a consumer, is that I could not connect with the people that looked like me, but they would have them sound. And I met some of these people, and they are really intelligent, interesting people, but they were always casted in a particular way that I was just like, I wouldn't want to fuck that person, right? And then you meet them and you're like, well, why would they dumb you down in that way? But it's to fit that box. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear music, whether it's King Noir's original music or music that makes us feel sexy and is relevant to the time. Like, people can actually say what a porn song sounds like. That means that it's been used and overused, and you know, so much.
The bounce chicken wow wow, come on.
So you know, we use original artists, original producers in our music. The written language, the descriptions don't say, you know, BBC fucks a MILF. It's like a whole storyline and erotica in it. The attire, you will see everything from waist beads to head wraps to sneakers, things that are very, you know, commonplace and that we're really proud of in our culture. And we brought that into our film along with our kinks. So that is why.
And on top of all that, we don't fetishize other human beings of other races.
Or gender expression
or anything like that.
So if we are, you know, if we're doing a scene with someone who, let's just say a trans performer, that's not the focus. The focus is what are the kinks of the two performers that are performing, and how can we bring that expression to light? So that's why we're a multi-award winning film company.
You need way more than 5 fucking awards, y'all.
Yep.
Because that is dope. Yeah. Thank you. I have to say
we gotta talk to X-Biz about this.
That's amazing.
I don't know if what's up, shameless sex fam? Is your sex life important to you? What about your relationships? And also, let me ask you this. Who can relate to this story? Things were once so good in the bedroom with my partner, and now it's a mess, and I don't know what to do.
Where's my happily ever after, Amy?
What about me? Or how about, so many aspects of my life are fantastic, but when it comes to sex and relationships, I feel so lost. Yep, been there.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And this is why you all need Shameless Sex,
the book.
We give you simple solutions and a framework that you can use. You can customize it to you. Yes, you. It gives you the tools, the right tools for your sex and relationship, so you get what you desire. And it's fun. It's playful. Right, Amy? We're always playful.
It's kind of sexy.
And did I mention how easy we make it for you? You have to check out Shameless Sex. Plus, the testimonials, they're coming in from everywhere. And this book has helped people just like you recreate and create the sex life of their dreams. So you can do it too. Go to, where are they going, Amy?
ShamelessSex.com.
Oh, how easy is that? Just go to ShamelessSex.com and click on the book, okay? And you can get it however you choose.
If you want hardcover, audio.
Hardcover?
We got you hardly covered. So I arrived a little late, everyone, and I have heard your bio, and I think you were probably sharing more about this. And so your work, you're very passionate about decolonizing sex for Black and Brown people, is something that you stated that you're in. And one question I want to ask about that is, because we're talking about fetishes, how can someone, and maybe safe isn't the right word, safely or respectfully, like, so say someone really does have a fetish for watching a Black man with a big cock fuck a tiny Asian woman. That really gets them off. That's their, how do they respectfully consume porn or you utilize that fetish? Like, if that's really a thing, just a thing for them, because I know there still is these stereotypes, but I guess maybe would what you're offering be a place for them to be able to still kind of like explore that in a safe place where they're not shamed for having this thing, but they're also not like putting people in these categories in the way most porn does. So I don't know if that question makes sense, but
no, it does. It makes a lot of sense. And I think, especially because we're on specifically like shameless sex podcast, right? It's so important for us when people are trying to explore how they came to their fetishes, whether appropriate or inappropriate, healthy or unhealthy, how do we help them work through that with as little shame as possible, mm-hmm. right? And so I think when you're explaining that scenario, a lot of people have preferences for, you know, perhaps they identify with one of the people or, you know, one of the people in that film, or maybe that was the first film that they ever watched, or the first genre that they ever watched. And it's comforting to go back to like what you know works, right?
Or you dated somebody who these people remind you of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you want to date one of, you know what I mean? It's something that, or even like you want to sort of embody what it may feel like to have that body type, perhaps, right? There's so many reasons that bring us to that point. I think it's really important for us, for the listeners that are here, to really understand how you are approaching that porn, right? Mm-hmm. What brings you to it? Is it these spaces of respect? Is it these things that you can really feel proud of, at least calling in here? Let's just say, if mm-hmm. you could call into this show where we're all so open about sex and sexuality, could you feel comfortable with your sharing your preference for watching that style of porn? Or is there a layer of shame because it is a bit racist? Is there something about it that you like about maybe seeing that person be powerless? Or is it something that mirrors what you see in day-to-day life, where these stereotypes about Black men all having big cocks and mm-hmm. Asian women being submissive? Do those stereotypes carry into your pleasure, you know?
And do those stereotypes then frame how you engage with Black men and Asian women outside in the world?
Right.
You know, like if you meet a Asian woman that's not petite, are you then questioning her Asianness?
Right.
If you meet a Black man and you don't know what his dick size is, are you trying to find out for absolutely no reason? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or are you referencing like, you must have a big dick because you're a Black guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you able to now separate this porn that I watched from the people that you meet in every day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's where it does become a little problematic at times, because, you know, especially when we're talking about porn that's not royal fetish porn, where, mm-hmm. you know, it might be set up like you never see this man's face, right? Like, now all you think about is, you know, Black men are only our dicks,
mm-hmm.
right? Or if you see this Asian woman and she has absolutely no autonomy or say for what happens in that scene within the framework of the scene, like she doesn't speak, she doesn't anything like that. So then, you know, now when you have a society that already kind of says like Black men don't care about women, or Asian women, as Jasmine said, are subservient to men, you know? So then it kind of keeps you stuck in this particular stereotype. So mm-hmm. how are you then when you are outside of watching your porn? Yeah.
So we really want people that are willing to challenge what they watch, how they consume it, and how it has an impact on them. We really want to challenge like these kind of questions that you should have with yourself. Right. There have been times when I've had to sort of look at what I was watching and am I fetishizing this group of people? What are my, you know, and start to get curious about what else do I know about these, this group of people, this community of sex workers, perhaps? What, do I know anyone in that community? What, you know, what about this content is arousing to me? And just really sort of check myself so that way I can feel good. And, you know, we always talk about like ethical porn, but I think that, some of that ethics falls on the consumer as well. How are you consuming this work? And then for us, just from the other end, from behind the camera, we feel that it's really important that not only do we put the films out there, but that we also normalize and humanize, the performer. So we do the before interview and the after interview when they're out of character.
Oh, you show that.
I think that's so important.
Yeah.
It is important because then people can also connect to this person outside of just that sexual act, right? And so not everyone can go out, depending on where you live, in the cheese factory or whatever, and just like meet the most diverse group of people ever. It's not, you know, or sometimes when you're like connecting with the internet, unfortunately, it does take you down a fetish sort of space. But if you can connect with that human in just for a couple of moments before or after you engage with them sexually, then we're sort of hopefully helping to broaden that perspective where we're not fetishizing people, but we are enjoying our sexual preference.
Yeah. And one last thing I would like to say about that, where decolonizing comes into it, is also the root of these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure we can all agree there are big dicks of all shapes, sizes, and colors across the spectrum of humanity. Mm-hmm. But Black men are specifically fetishized for their penises because of slavery in America and the purpose of why we were here, which was to create more humans to make America more money. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times Black men are completely framed around the size of their penis for that reason. And then also, white men raped so many Black men, Black women, and Black children during the time of slavery that they began to fear the same thing happening to them and their families. Mm-hmm. So in order to make the fear even greater and the hatred even greater was to completely fetishize and dehumanize. So bestiality, making a human a beast. Mm-hmm. So for all these other things, you know, really, if people want to read just up on it, you know, the book Mandingo and the story of Mandingo was all about a slave owner who raped all these people on his plantation and then was afraid that a slave named Mandingo was going to sleep with his wife. Mm-hmm. So he created all of these ideas of what would make Mandingo make his wife no longer love him and leave him. But he feels that Mandingo is inferior to him. So how do you make someone inferior? You take away their brain and make their body the only thing that matters. Oh, they're stronger, they're big dicks, they're this, they're this, they're this. So I think a lot of times when it comes to the decolonization of everything, it's like in porn, for what people look for, people might like dicks of a certain size, regardless of the color, or maybe they do like certain hues on performers or whatever. But I do think that when it comes down to like how you humanize this person in your own mind, mm-hmm. right? Like if you think this person is only good for this because of their color, then you know you're definitely fetishizing that person instead of enjoying a fetish.
Yeah. Well, you have to know you're making positive change isn't a big enough word for what you're doing, not only for the adult industry, but I think for humanity in general, because we could all, even outside of the world of sexuality, I know, and I'll speak for myself, but I know even my most like conscious and woke friends, sometimes we generalize, we do that. That's our brains like categorizing things. And I think, you know, when I grew up in Wisconsin, it's like not all fucking Wisconsin people are cheeseheads. I'm lactose intolerant. It was a joke, you know. It's like, dude. So it's like I'm always like, I love all things French. I'm like, wait, no, not really. Like, there's right. So but it's like we kind of categorize these things, and I think, but in the world of sexuality, it's so much deeper because these are things that we sometimes are unconscious of. We don't know even where they come from. Is it from a dream or is it from something that you really want? And I really value what y'all are doing.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast is free to you because of our amazing sponsors like Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious silicone lubricant that can enhance your sex and intimacy. Uberlube's unique formula is velvety, long-lasting, with no flavor or scent, and it feels absolutely incredible on the body. There are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients because it's less likely to throw off your pH than most other lubes. So whether you want to make your hot sex even hotter, or you want to prevent dryness, take our advice and check out our favorite go-to, Uberlube.
Uberlube isn't just for sex. I use it for massage, to tame my frizzy hair, to prevent chafing, even for oral sex sessions. I love how it comes in a beautiful bottle with a pump top for easy access, appearing more like a cosmetic product so you can leave it on your nightstand shamelessly. Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube, and countless listeners agree, often stating, "We never knew lube could be this good." To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com, use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast was also made possible by OMGS.com. OMGS combines scientific research of real vulva owners so you can learn shame-free techniques on how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied 20,000 plus people of all ages and turned the research into animated modules, short videos, and beautiful infographics that are tasteful and easy to understand. Whether you want to learn about external pleasure, internal stimulation, or techniques with toys, OMGS can help you master vulva pleasure. Let me tell you, I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives because knowledge really can activate your pleasure power.
OMGS is for anyone who cares about vulva pleasure and wants to take it to the next level. OMGS can help you become a sexual strategist by equipping you with the tools you need to unlock your pleasure potential. Plus, your OMGS purchase helps fund more pleasure research. OMG, that's great! Only pay once, and these techniques are yours forever. That's right, this is not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. So go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off when you purchase any OMGS season. Again, go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Time to pursue your pleasure. And now, back to the show.
I want to talk a little bit more, because we have talked about that, and you can go deeper into that, but oh, the sex toys. I love talking about sex toys. You have your own sex toy line, so I'd also like to talk about that if you want to.
For sure.
I love talking about sex toys all day, though.
You could do it all day.
Okay, awesome. So I feel like we need your address, because we got
We'll send some to you.
Awesome.
Oh, please. Oh, that sounds great.
So I'll let you start with, because King's Toy was the first toy on our line, and then we've just been bonkers since then, but I'll let you start.
So honestly, it started from, I don't know, like a long time ago. I had an ex that was like, I wish I could just have a sex toy of your dick, because we didn't live anywhere near each other.
Or exact replica.
And then I was like, ooh. That's fucking awesome. I could fuck people from wherever. You know, so it's so much
more affordable that way.
Yeah,
and safer.
and also, whereas I am a whole human, I do like to be objectified. It is a turn on for me. It goes along with my exhibitionism and all of that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like, wow, I would really be interested in that. And I had a company reach out to me, but it was kind of like all the people that they had within this company, like all the dicks looked the same. I was just like, I know that these people, like I've been on set with some of these people before, like their dicks are not the same, but why do their dicks look the same in this for this toy? So I was like, and then also I wanted to find something that was safe for the environment, safe for people's bodies. So I looked up a whole lot of companies and reached out to a bunch of companies, and finally got into talks with Lust Arts. And Lust Arts is just completely awesome as a company, because all of the things that I imagined and all of the things that Jasmine has imagined with her toy line as well, they've made come to life. So as Jazz mentioned earlier, you know, we like kicks and sneakers and stuff like that. And I am a sneakerhead. So being able to have my dildo in all kinds of colors that I would never dye my actual penis is amazing. Because I'm like, yo, those Jordans match my Kobe 9s. You can have a pair of J's that match my dildo. Let's get it.
You're like me. I have like 200 pairs of shoes. I'm not even exaggerating. And they're all in boxes, shoe boxes. I'm obsessed. Sneakerhead, all the shoe head.
Now we just need to make some matching pussies.
She makes fun of me. I'm like, she's like, you got a lot of shoes, girl. I'm
it's
like,
a lot of shoes.
So he, the conversations with him and Les Arts, which is a woman-owned company, sex work-friendly company, who's willing to work with people who actually have sex workers to create mm-hmm. sex toys, which is huge. He's like, look at these shoes, and they work together to create matching, you know, shoes that go with scenes. And so his fans, they're like, oh, like, I love that scene. I love those sneakers. And he's able to be like, and here's the dick to go with it, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I loved about the first mold that he did was it was actually in his likeness. And so like the veins were there, the gradation, which when we
the veins are on the shoe ones too, though.
Well, I know they're
she
there.
The veins.
She I didn't see these shoe ones dicks you're talking about.
the coloration. Yeah. So, and I think the gradation, like the color gradation is so important, because a lot of times when you go and you look, like you don't, maybe you don't want like a pink dick or something that looks silly. Like you want something that looks human. And we have gradation in our genitalia. And so it's real life. So we expanded the line because I am a femdom. I enjoy dominating. I enjoy pegging and all the many things. And not everyone can take King's dildo. So I wanted to expand our line to include the Queen's Command, which is three different sizes and different densities, because although King's is made in his likeness, we wanted to make something for people to train up to that size if they're interested, or to stay where they're comfortable. Also wanted to create a line for other sex workers that enjoy domination. And so like, the sustainability mindset here was, if you buy this set, like, you're good to go with all your clients and all your fans. You have the tiny ones for if you do small dick humiliation, to the Duchess, which is, you know, for somebody who is definitely more well-trained and willing to take on a challenge. Mm-hmm. So we have that. We have the edging bands, which were known as cock rings, but we call them edging bands because, one, we don't even use the word cock like that. And two, not everyone refers to their genitalia in that way. So it's just an edging band.
And also could be used for all kinds of other things too.
Yeah, bondage.
You use it for tying people up.
Yeah, soft bondage. And we decided to put little messages on there, commands on there, and also included it in Braille because we think it's important for everyone to be able to explore kink.
That's awesome.
So also, you know, when you think about it from a sensory standpoint, I think the sexiest language is Braille because it uses touch. So we definitely incorporate that. We have a line of impact play tools as well.
Yes, we just dropped a brand new line of impact tools.
And some of them are leather and some of them are rubber. So
some of them are metal.
Yeah. So we went from like vegan to leather. Yeah.
Yeah. All the things going on over there.
I think it's important for your audience, you know, for your audience to know that sex work is broad and that we are people who actually use the tools. We live the lifestyle. We train people on how to use them. And so why would you want to give your money to like, you know, just a company that
just saw a hole in the marketplace.
Right.
we go to sex toy trade shows a couple times a year. And so we see, and not going to shout out any of the names of some of the companies, but see a lot of companies that just mass produce a whole bunch of stuff that you can tell, number one, they did not really, especially a lot of things that are designed for vulvas.
I'm like, totally designed this.
A vulva owner, a vulva owner did not design that. And there is a lot of objectification that you see, like big pieces of flesh or
or porn stars plastered over and they're
perfectly symmetrical pussies. And it's realistic. It's also not helping people to see the diversity of sexuality. So I really appreciate that y'all are doing what you're doing. And it's so cool to hear new companies, new innovative companies and new people, you know, people doing what you're doing, and you're doing so many things. So I want to ask you this. So our listeners love tips. So it's kind of like a little switch off here, but if you could give our listeners three top tips for what they can do to create a more sex positive world, or maybe a sexier world, but in a sex positive way, either within their own relationships with their body or partnerships or with the world, the outside world, what would those tips be?
Wow.
You're like, I have like 20 of them.
I know, right? Well, the first one that I have is to explore, you know, as much as you're comfortable and you can. So one of the lines that we focus on is pushing boundaries and, you know, pushing our own boundaries and helping people push their own boundaries. I think when we sort of think of how, what our sex, sort of like the longevity of our sex life can be, you know, what do you want to fill it with? What do you want to experience? And even if it's something that you try once and you give yourself permission to try it and not like it, or to try it and love it, or to try it and keep trying it, I think that's so important to give people permission, to give themselves permission to try new things. And those new things don't have to come from a list. They can come from, you know, your imagination. They can come from our porn, you know, you be inspired.
Royal fetish porn. I was going to say, watch royal fetish. Yeah.
Got degrees in sex expert advice. Yeah. You know, the motto, never the same way twice.
That's your tip.
No, I was just building on what you were saying.
My second tip, and then if you have two or more.
Well, are we supposed to give three each or three between?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, I have one more. Okay, that one is use sex workers. Use sex workers.
All the time. We're here.
Hire sex workers, whether to do like virtual cam shows to explore things. Like, we are not judging you. We are happy to do it. We like, this is what we do. You want to talk about something kinky. You want to have an experience that maybe you can rally up your girlfriends or your partners to do with you. Like, this is the job that sex workers have signed up for and can help you do it safely.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I would just add, I know you have something to say to share too, but paying sex workers, right? Because there's a lot of that free porn out there. And you're, you know, it's taking people's content where they're using their bodies, their time, their energy to, that's their jobs, you know, and a lot of them love their jobs too. And so when you go and look at free content, I mean, yes, maybe if you want to look at free content to get like little snippets, but especially if you find people that you really like
the
what they're
industry,
doing.
Music industry, you have to like support your artists, support your performers. You have to.
No pirating.
No.
Unless it's a pirate kink, then that's cool.
Hey.
Pirate fetish.
I would say as long as it does not involve children, animals, or people who say no or do not have the ability to say no, whether you're involved in it or not, let the shit be. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something that you're not particularly into but doesn't fall under those categories that I just told you, and it's consenting adults enjoying themselves, leave it be. Mind your business. You don't need to shout them out at the PTA meeting or, I don't know, try to write a law to stop them from being able to love one another.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing, last thing came to mind, April's going to ask you to, so how people feel that they can work with you. But, you know, so say, because we're talking about bestiality or like pedophilia. So say someone does have an attraction to or a fetish for young people, you know, you can play that out with sex workers, right? Like, you know, a sex worker could be like, okay, I'm going to pretend like I'm, you know, like a 12-year-old bad girl or whatever. Like you could, there are ways, or puppy play, like, I want to have sex with a puppy. Don't have sex with a fucking puppy, please. But your partner can wear a puppy tail and walk around and make little puppy sounds, or you can, you know, and there's sex workers that do these things too. So like, I think it goes back to what you're saying before, that there are outlets that we can still potentially explore.
People can draw things and Pixar can make cartoons that look very realistic too, right? That are not human. So we could use the art world in this realm as well.
Absolutely. So things like age play, whether people want to pretend to be littles or like to engage in sort of daddy dom or mommy dom or that type of play, that can definitely be done with an adult. Yeah. Those impulses are seeming really strong that you can't be in a role play space, whether it's with animals or people that are not of age to give consent, then find help, right? Mm-hmm. There are sex therapists, regular therapists that can really help you work through what those impulses may be about and keep you from hurting yourself or others. But for those that just are gravitating towards these kinks and feel that they are in a healthy place that can be contained in that role play, then definitely there are people who are professionals at helping mm-hmm. you experience that in a fun, safe, and really sexy way.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I don't want to let you two go. I know you have your parents and you have things to do other than talk to us, but we would love to talk to you both again because you are just phenomenal humans and what you're bringing to not only the sex world and the world of sexuality, but to the entire planet is really incredible. And I don't say that lightly and I don't take your work lightly. Really, really so much love for you. How can people not only watch Royal Fetish films, how can they find you, work with you, and any handles that you want to share, please do, because we have to say goodbye. I'm sad.
How did I get those sex toys too?
Oh yeah.
Well, you got to send us your Addy and we'll get it. Yeah.
We will, but not to all the, they're not saying that to all your listeners.
Right,
sorry.
Yeah.
Just us, we're special.
You can go to, for Safe for Work stuff, you can go to jetsettingjasmine.com or kingnoir.com, and you can find our toys, our music, our writings and articles and all those important things, and our podcast, which is Royal Fetish Radio, Porn and Politics.
And where we're going next.
And where we're going next, because we are about to be on the road in your city. But
cool. And country.
Wow. Nice.
Planet. But then for all of the stuff that your boss is probably already watching, but you don't want to watch on a company computer, you can go to royalfetishxxx.com, kingnoirxxx.com. You can search both of us on OnlyFans, but then on the other socials.
Jet Set Jasmine.
On all the things.
On all the things, yes.
And I'm on like my 18th Instagram, which is the real King Noir.
They deactivate you.
Super shadow banned.
Yes, so annoying. They hate sex. So
they hate my dick print on Instagram.
Oh, I want to see your dick print.
Oh, you will. I will. We're going to find him. We're finding both of you. Well, you can find all their links as well.
Yeah.
Twitter is the one at King Noir. You can see all the print and no clothes and all that good stuff. But I'm shadow banner too, so good luck.
Yeah. Make sure
where's that? It's just honestly like you get shadow banned all over the place. So go to their website and then you can find out a lot of the things. Can't shadow ban your own website yet.
I have to thank you both for hanging out with us and taking the time and being so cool and amazing. And Amy, I think you should send us off because I entered. Now you exit. Ooh,
we're switching it up here. All right. Well, I'm Amy. I'm sweating my balls off over here. If you're not watching us on YouTube, we have this video on YouTube. We also have our own social handles at Shaman Sex Podcast, I believe.
She doesn't even know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, TikTok. Go find us on TikTok. Go find us on Instagram. And then we'll also have clips of this. So you'll have little teasers. If you don't want to watch the whole video, so you'll get to see some clips. So, and you'll meet these wonderful humans here. Thank you so much, Jet Setting Jasmine and King Noir, for coming on our show. You are awesome. We love the work that you're doing. Thank you so much to all of our listeners. We love you. If you haven't rated us already, please, please, please go to iTunes. And you can also do this on Spotify. Now you can rate us. We love 5 stars. If you don't have time, it'll take you 5 seconds. Just put in an emoji, a smile, a heart,
a squirter.
Maybe, oh, an eggplant.
An eggplant.
If you like the dick,
really
put an eggplant.
There's really fun emojis now.
Yeah. Even a barf emoji.
The manhole. Have you ever seen the manhole one? That one's cool.
What the fuck is the manhole?
It's just a hole. It's like, I'll send it to you tomorrow.
That sounds kinky. All right. Anyways, we love you all very, very much. And as April usually would say, she would say, see you next Tuesday and
ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.